Let's read again in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and we'll read verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. This coming February, the Academy Awards will consider the latest nominations for Oscars. And many actors and actresses will be hoping that they will win this much coveted golden statue for best actor or best actress. It's something that people in that profession will work for many years. It's their dream. It's their ultimate accolade. If God came into our midst to give awards for the best actor or the best actress, would you win? Speaking, of course, of hypocrisy, acting like a Christian, pretending to be something you're not, putting on a mask or a disguise. Who would win the best actor? Who would win the best actress? It's not an award I hope any of us want to win. I want to help you this evening. Although there will be warning necessarily in a sermon like this, I really do want to help you to see that this is actually a terrible way to live. And I hope to try and persuade you with the help of God's word to give up the act. To stop pretending and actually find far greater joy and satisfaction in a life of realism, in a life of truth outside and inside. So I want to look at Christ's warnings here about hypocrisy. We want to notice, first of all, that there are many different kinds of hypocrisy. There are varieties of pretending. Pretending takes a number of different forms. I'd like you to try and think of them in two main categories. These actors are in two main categories. And the first category is unbelieving pretenders, unbelieving hypocrites, non-Christian hypocrites. And you're here tonight. Some of you fall into this category. You don't actually have true saving faith. You don't actually know Christ as your Savior. But there's a lot of pretending going on in your life. This category of unbelieving pretender has a number of different types in it. There's the blatant hypocrite, you might say. That's the one that's most obvious to us. You're probably here tonight. You are someone who lives like the devil 6 days a week, and then lives like an angel on Sunday, or at least when you're here. You're somebody who indulges in many sinful practices through the week, maybe in business, maybe in relationships, maybe in your choices of media. But when it comes to Sunday, you act like a Christian. That's a very blatant hypocrisy. Everyone knows you're a hypocrite. At least people who know you know you're a hypocrite. You're a pretender. They see you 6 days a week. They see you in the business. They see you at home. They see you in the school. They see you in the college. And then they see you on Sunday. And they don't see the same person. That's very blatant hypocrisy. But there are more subtle forms of this unbelieving pretense. There's religious hypocrisy. This is an unbeliever, but who actually pretends to be religious all the time. Not just on a Sunday, but all the time. So you have cultivated over the years a religious appearance. And you know religious language. You have a religious status on the outside, but inside there is spiritual death. We see an example of this in chapter 11, verse 39. Jesus speaks of the Pharisees and says, "You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." This kind of hypocrisy was what Christ had in mind in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14. He says, "You Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer." These were very religious people, and yet they were stealing and thieving from vulnerable members of society. They were very religious, and yet they were very evil. They weren't one day a week hypocrites, they were 7 day a week hypocrites. They were, you might say, supreme actors. They tried to keep it up every day of the week, covering up their wickedness with religion. And then there are legalistic hypocrites. Legalistic hypocrites are very expert in the minutiae of the law. The details of morality. They're very expert on church traditions and church life and church customs and church forms. Don't dare touch any of these things. Very protective, very concerned. And yet, they are breaking massive laws all the time. So, incredible care about little jots and tittles and crossing of T's and dotting of I's, and yet massive books of sin. We see this, for example, in Luke chapter 11, verse 42. "Woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs," like the tiniest little things in this world. They're kind of gathering little pieces of leaf and stem, and they're chopping it up and then making sure they get that exact tenth away. And yet, what does he say? "You're doing all this, and yet you're passing over justice and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to let the other undone." Again, we see this in Matthew 23. And in verses 16 through 24, Jesus is saying, you know, you're all so worked up about the exact wording that should be used in religious oaths, and yet you're utterly blind to massive realities of law, justice, mercy, and faith. These are legalistic, lawyerly hypocrites. They cover up their lack of inner life with incredible observance outwardly of law, especially the tiny little ones. And Then there are traditional hypocrites, people who are very focused on the traditions and yet totally ignorant of true religious life. We see that, for example, again in Matthew 23 and verses 29 to 36. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets, you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets." He's basically saying to them, here's what he would be saying if he was here today. He'd be saying, you exalt the reformers and the Puritans. You raise them up and you decorate their tombs and you read all about them, but you have no interest at all in reformation in your own life or church. And then there are cultural hypocrites. And perhaps this is something that young people especially have to be careful about. What's the kind of person I'm thinking of here is the person who grows up in a Christian family and goes to a Christian school and goes to a Christian church and mixes with Christian young people, goes to Christian youth groups, goes to Christian Sunday schools, watches Christian movies, and assumes that because they're in that Christian culture, they are Christians. It's extremely dangerous to assume that. You go through all the steps of our culture. You grow up in Sunday school and catechism class, and you do confession of faith, and you join the church, and you become a member, but it's cultural. It's not spiritual. You've embraced a way of living, but you've not embraced the way of life. I've been talking to a number of young people about this kind of problem, and I was given a letter. I want to read it out to you. This is a letter written by a converted young person. To himself 5 years before. Okay, so it's like, what would you say to yourself if you were to write a letter to your younger self? And this is what would have been written. "Dear unconverted young man, I hope you're getting along well this week. I see you have much going on in your life with soccer, work, friends, family, hobbies, church, and other things. You seem to be covering a lot of ground and time is not slowing down. I wanted to drop you a few lines to save you a lot of pain and invite you into a joy that cannot be explained with words. Please stop pretending who you are. Stop pretending to be a Christian. Stop pretending to know that you are really saved. Stop pretending like you've always been a decent kid in a decent family and that you've acquired faith by osmosis. Stop saying spiritual things to cover up your dark insides. Stop deceiving people. Stop pushing people away from the Christian faith. Stop listening to country, hip-hop and rock music that's rotting out your brain and will haunt you the rest of your life. Stop looking at those dirty images on your phone you will never unsee. Stop your ungodly relationships immediately. Stop hanging around your friends who are just like you, friends who wear the name Christian yet have never been changed by Christ either. Stop encouraging others along with you as you run headlong for hell. Stop belittling and mocking God's children as if they don't know what they're missing. Stop pretending and start seeking Christ. Please listen to your mother's words last week as she wept at the end of your bed. What she said is true. There are many gifts you've been given, but they're all a waste if you don't exist in your life to give God glory. Please talk with your grandpa about heaven and hell. He's been praying for you since you were born. Please heed the words of your ministers. They're faithful. They love your never-dying soul. Read the Word of God and find life for your soul. Trust in Christ alone for salvation. Don't look back on what you've done, but what He has done for you. He paid the price of all your sin to bring you to glory. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house. With a love and desire to give God much glory, signed, yourself, 5 years later. Stop pretending. Unbelieving pretenders, stop pretending. But there's another category, and that is believing pretenders. Yes, those without faith pretend they have, but those with faith also fall into acting and pretending. In fact, that's who Jesus is addressing in chapter 12. Chapter 11 is very focused on the unbelieving, the blatant hypocrites, the legalistic hypocrites, the traditional hypocrites, the religious hypocrites, the cultural hypocrites, those without faith. But in chapter 12, he turns to his disciples. We read in verse 1, and he says, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He's saying, disciples, don't think just because you've got faith that you are immune to this great danger. You too have to be greatly beware of this. And again, there are different categories of actor amongst God's true people. There's the past glory pretender, the Christian who had a great conversion, a wonderful change in their lives, and things totally turned around, but not much has happened for many years. They're living off the past. When you talk to them, all their experiences, all their stories, all that they've learned is all from like 10 and 20 and 30 years ago. It's a past glory faith. There's the backsliding hypocrite amongst the believer, the person who looks just like they always looked, but they've let temptation into their life. And then they've let that temptation become a sin. And then that sin has become a habit. And it's carried them, their heart, their soul, they're very far away from God. There's the lost love hypocrite. The person of whom it can be said, you have left your first love. You can talk about Christ. You can discuss Christ. But you don't love Him. You don't have that sense of love for Him anymore. There's the cliche hypocrite. This is the believer who has all the right language in prayer. In fact, if you were to compare his or her prayers today with 10, 20 years ago, it would sound exactly the same. And that's the problem. It's just become a formula. It's just become a pattern, a routine, almost like a magic set of words that one has got so used to that one can say without even thinking about it. The script is so familiar, it's memorized and don't even need to think. But it's all just cliches. There's no reality attached to the words. There's nothing that corresponds to the truth that is in the words. And then there's the mini hypocrite amongst God's people. And I think that's the kind of person Christ has especially in view here, because he speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's like the smallest amount. This is someone who is not a full-blown hypocrite, but small changes have occurred. Little things have come into their lives that don't match up. But this is very dangerous. It might be in the way you're handling money. It might be to do with flirtation outside of marriage. It might be to do with shortening or missing of quiet times doesn't seem a lot. It doesn't seem that big. It's like mini hypocrisy. But mini hypocrisy is still dangerous hypocrisy. And so whoever you are here tonight, if you find yourself amongst the unbelieving or the believing hypocrites, see how passionately Christ addresses you. Beware. Beware. Now, to the unbelieving hypocrite, Jesus actually says, woe to you. There are curses coming upon you. You are in an extremely dangerous place. He's saying, woe unto you. Judgment is coming. This is not a state you want to stay in or continue in. Stop pretending. To the believing hypocrite, the Christian who's allowed hypocrisy into their lives, he says, beware. This is not fatal, but it's damaging. It's harmful. Let's look then, secondly, at the dangers of hypocrisy, the dangers of pretending. If these are the different varieties, what are the different dangers that attach themselves to hypocrisy? Well, I think we want to focus on this little image of the leaven of the Pharisees. This, he's saying, you've heard me condemn all these Pharisees for their rampant, blatant, religious, traditional, cultural hypocrisy. And you look at it with horror. It's disgusting. It's as he said, like dead men's bones. But, believer, Christian, don't even let the smallest amount in. Don't let the tiniest atom of acting into your life. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Like leaven or yeast, it starts small. This doesn't happen overnight in a big bang. Leaven doesn't work like that. Have you ever bake or watch someone bake it? You compare leaven to the loaf. It's just a tiny amount usually. Remember watching my dad make bread when we were growing up, and used to look at these loaves and all this flour, and they put this tiny amount of yeast in, and it was amazing. The impact it had, just this tiny, tiniest amount. It doesn't need to be a big deal, like a massive act. This is a small thing he's warning us about. It starts small, but it spreads to everything. It spreads throughout the whole loaf. It penetrates everything. You can't let hypocrisy into your life and say, I'm going to keep it just there. Like, I'm just going to act in this little piece of my life, this little ethical issue, this relationship, this part of my business or whatever, and I'll keep everything else good. You try that. You go home and try and bake a loaf of bread like that. Try and keep the yeast confined to one part. It can't happen. It doesn't happen. It spreads to everything eventually. And it corrupts. That's how yeast works. It comes into contact with elements of the flour, and it starts a process of fermentation which releases carbon dioxide, which releases gas, which puffs up the bread. And that's what hypocrisy does. It corrupts. It ferments. It comes into contact with true religion and it damages it. It causes festering and fermenting and corruption. It ruins. It spoils ultimately. And it puffs up. One of the characteristics of hypocrisy is pride. It's like the loaf being puffed up with this gas. That's what happens in hypocrisy. We get lifted up, we get proud, we get self-sufficient, we become controlling about our religion. We think we can manage things and keep things under our control. And we become very adept at this. And like yeast, it's almost imperceptible in its growth. If you're to watch a loaf in the oven as it begins to bake, if you came back after half an hour, you'd see a big change. But if you're just to stay there and watch, you would hardly notice what's happening because it happened so slowly, imperceptibly. And so it is with hypocrisy. It starts slowly. It spreads to everything, and it does it in a way that you hardly notice until it's everywhere. It's affecting everything and infecting everything. And you think, what happened? That just came out of the blue. No, it didn't. It didn't. It's a long process, usually. Sometimes over many months, sometimes over years, sometimes over decades. So imperceptible. That's part of the danger and the deceitfulness of hypocrisy. You don't see it happening. It's so imperceptible. And it damages Christian witness. This is one of the great concerns of Christ for the disciples. He's basically saying, look, you go down that path they've gone down. You go down this path of hypocrisy, of acting, pretending. You know what's going to happen? You're going to destroy the witness of the church. Because people will see the phoniness, the faking it, or they'll see your incredible outward perfection and they'll think, well, that's impossible. There's no point in me even trying that. But they're not seeing your reality. They're seeing your act. And so whether they're seeing you're faking it in terms of the double standards or faking it in terms of perfection outwardly, either way, it damages the witness of the church. And it's a lonely life. A hypocritical life's a lonely life. What happens when we go down the path of hypocrisy? We have to start hiding ourselves from people, don't we? We have to withdraw because we can't get close to people. You get close to people and you're living a double life, what's going to happen? They'll see it. They'll recognize it. You won't be able to keep it up all the time. And so what do? When we're living a pretend life, we can't let people in. We push people off. Keep them at a distance. You can't be yourself. You can't ever relax. You can't ever be at peace. You're always like, how do I look? Am I performing? Am I managing this? Is this convincing enough? And so there can never be a thought about other people because we're always thinking about ourselves and how we're being perceived and seen. That's a lonely life. There can be no genuine friendship there because there's no genuine reality. And it's a miserable life. It's miserable. I mean, a lot of you know this. I know this. Every Christian knows this. Who have gone through any period of hypocrisy. It's miserable. It's joyless. The Christian life becomes a drudge. It's just a duty. There's no delight. I've got to go to church. Got to keep up this image. No pleasure in this Bible reading. Da, 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 da. Might as well pray because I'm supposed to pray. And it's all misery. It's all just so painful and slow. It's like wading through treacle. There's no energy. There's no fire. There's no zeal. It's just a big, drudging duty. It's so tiring. Faking it is so tiring. And it suffocates grace. Hypocrisy suffocates grace. Because we become obsessed with our doing and what we're not doing. Hypocrisy does not allow anyone to admit need or a problem in their life. And therefore that self-sufficiency, that self-dependence, that suffocates the grace of God, which thrives in the midst of need and confessed need. But when we're acting all the time, we're focused on covering and concealing rather than confessing our sin and celebrating forgiveness. And it will ultimately be exposed. That's what Jesus goes on to say here. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. He's saying, ultimately, you might manage to pull this off for a time. You might deceive. You might pull the wool over the eyes of your husband, your wife, your children, your pastor, your elders, your people that you sit beside in the pew. You may be able to do this for a time, but not for all time. Eventually, he says, what you're covering is going to be peeled back and seen. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Indeed, he's saying, what you've done in the darkness, your true self, your reality, he's saying, that one day will be heard in the light. And what you've spoken in the secret places, that will be proclaimed upon the housetops. You see a lot of dangers in hypocrisy. This is why Jesus says, beware. Beware. Beware of the least amount of leaven of this dangerous substance coming into your life. So, how do we cure it? We've looked at the varieties of pretending. We've looked at the dangers. What about the cures? How do we fix this? How do we escape this? How do we get delivered from this? Well, first of all, we must receive the warning. We must receive the warning. If you're here tonight and there's something in you that is like fighting really hard against this message, you say, I hate this. I don't want to hear this. You're in the greatest danger here. You're by far in the greatest danger. If you won't even receive a warning from Christ about this, you are in the deepest, darkest grip of hypocrisy. And so the first step to escaping this is to actually say, I need to hear this. It doesn't matter who I am, whether I'm not a Christian or I've been a Christian for 60 years. I need to hear this warning. I am vulnerable. I am as likely to fall into this as the Pharisees. It's to acknowledge one's weakness. Jesus is giving this to his closest disciples out of love. So receive the warning. Secondly, recognize the constant danger. This is not something you will ever be free of in this life. You will always be in danger of this leaven. It's continually trying to worm itself into your life. If the devil can even put a drop of this yeast in the tiniest amount, he knows he's got a foothold. He knows he's got something that he can cultivate and warm and spread until it contaminates everything. He knows he's got an enemy in the citadel. So recognize the constant danger. And thirdly, risk honesty. Risk honesty. Start in private. Start with God. Just be honest before God. Come before him and say, Lord God, help me to be real. And if I can't even remember what real is, help me to rediscover it. That's what we see in the Psalms. We see somebody who is so brutally honest, grittily honest with God. It's like, just there it is. This is me. In all the ugliness and hideousness of it. A young Christian was telling me that he'd lived a lie. He'd lived a pretend life, pretending to be a Christian. And when he was truly converted, when truth really entered and gripped him, the most significant difference was in his private prayers. And he began to pray, and all the same words were coming out that he prayed before he was converted. And then he would stop and he'd say, no, no. That's just an act. That's not real. I don't fully identify with these words. Start again. Tell God the truth. And so he'd start again. And, and he'd get a line or two and then realize he was lapsing again into pretending, stop and go back and be real, be honest, be true, be transparent. Beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. Start in private, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Risk honesty with others as well. Reveal your weaknesses. Reveal your prayer needs. One of the most encouraging developments I've ever witnessed in church life in 30 years of being a Christian and almost 25 being a pastor is the young people's prayer group in this congregation. I've rarely seen such honesty with one another. It's stunning. There's just the pretenses, the acts, the disguises. They're left at the door. Here's me. I know it's ugly. I know it's horrible. But this is me. Help. Pray for me. And what does that do? It helps others drop their defenses. And then you have true fellowship. You have true spiritual friendship. Risk. Yes, there's risk. There's vulnerability. But oh, what a reward. What blessing comes from this? When we stop lying to God and we stop lying to one another and we just get real. And we just say, this is me. And even, okay, maybe you feel, I can't go to a group and do that. Find one person in your life that you can be totally honest with. Even one person that you can say, look, I know you think I'm this, but I tell you I'm not. Let me tell you who I really am. Let me tell you things I really struggle with. Let me tell you my temptations, my challenges, my fears, my unbelief, my doubts, my despair. That is a surefire way to kill hypocrisy, to eliminate the yeast of this pretense from our lives. I asked one of the young people, what are the benefits of this kind of fellowship? This is what was written. When we take off our mask, we allow others to do the same. We won't feel conflicted anymore. We won't feel lied to by others. We will have deeper friendships. We will have purer churches. We will have less gossip and more true humility. We will have better relationships between the older and younger generation. We will have less secularism and more light in the church. Yes, we will have a bigger stinking mess in the church because we will have more reality of sin, but also more chances to heal wounds, to change people because they finally stopped lying. And we'll love each other deeper because we'll know each other deeper. So the key is, know Christ better. Know yourself better. Know others better. Another cure is to reconnect with reality. Reconnect with reality. You know what is a real breeding ground for hypocrisy is when the church is not connected to reality. When the prayers and the sermons and the fellowships do not deal with real life. When it's like way up there, out of reach. It's like belongs to another place, another era. And when that happens, the more disconnected we feel from reality, the more connected we will be to pretending. The more likely we will be to pretend. When young people come to church and what they see is people who are acting as if they're perfect. And when we're not connecting with their real lives, what are they going to do? They're either going to run a million miles away or they're going to pretend. And they're going to try and be like all the other pretenders. One of the best things we can do for young people is to reconnect with their reality. And you know what they do if we don't? They find reality elsewhere. A few times recently I've been told by suffering young people that they turn to rap music because it's real life. It represents the pain and the hardship and the difficulty of life here. And it's just like it connects. It's there. That's where I am. That's who I am. The church should be able to do this, to connect with reality, but in a way that's hope-giving, in a way that's life-giving, not in a way that causes despair and discouragement and depression. What are we doing? Let's really ask that question. What am I doing in my life? What am I doing in my ministry? What are we doing as a church that is disconnecting from reality and therefore a breeding ground for hypocrisy and pretending? Or for pushing people away to find reality elsewhere? Let's reduce our expectations. Perfectionism for ourselves, for others. Again, that's just going to breed pretending, because we can't be perfect. No one can. Let's just admit it. Let's refocus on what God thinks, not what people think. It's interesting, this passage goes on in verse 4. Verse 4. Don't be afraid of them that kill the body and after have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you who you should fear. Fear him which after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. He's saying, okay, beware of hypocrisy. And here's one of the cures. Refocus on God. Get your mind away and your heart away and your life away from focus on other people and be focused on God, what He thinks, who you are before Him. He has power over our lives and our eternities. And let's remember eternity. Again, that's a tremendously effective cure for hypocrisy. That's what Jesus is saying here. Look, there's someone here who has power to cast you into hell. There's an eternity coming. You talk about reality. That's reality. That's what's certainly coming for unrepentant hypocrites who have no faith in Christ. Remember, what's the point in impressing people and pretending and acting for a few weeks, months, years or decades when at the end all the masks are taken off, all the disguises fall away, and we're left unable to act anymore and we're truly exposed before God? Remember eternity when you're tempted to pretend. Truly repent of this. See it as an evil, as a sin to be turned from, to be given over, and seek the opposite. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's seeking truthfulness, sincerity in the heart. It's not looking for perfection, but sincerity, reality. No acting. These non-actors, they shall see God. That's what lies ahead. That's the prospect of turning away from hypocrisy as a believer and as an unbeliever. The end result is more sight of God, more blessing from God. What a peace this will bring into our lives. To be free of all this pretending, all this acting, all this faking it. To be free of that. I mean, just to be who we are before God when we're before people as well. How liberating. How much of our anxieties would disappear. How much of our fears, how much of our worries. Everything would change in our perspective and proportion. Have I persuaded you tonight to abandon this acting? To give up this pretending? If God came into our midst, who would he give best actor to? Who would he give best actress to? I'll tell you what I want. I want to be the worst actor in the Free Reformed Church. That's my aim. I want to be the worst actor. I want you to join me in obedience to this command of Christ. Because that is what God will reward and award. Let's pray.